What is your ideal, easy like a Sunday morning schedule? Mine obviously will be a little different than most. Only I envision both the 7 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. masses as ideal for my calendar. For me, for that space in between, when I don't have a bulletin to create or a between mass meeting to attend or a mountain of emails to get to, I'm still getting there. It's just a smidge north of never, but it is a smidge. I enjoy a dark cup of coffee and a tall stack of newspapers, the WWOZ gospel set playing in the background. That's the ideal, which means what actually happens is a cup of coffee to go, WWOZ is background for my computer work, and those newspapers saved for Monday morning. Not able to pore over the papers thoroughly, I make sure to at least turn to the opinion pages, hearing a little more about the most important news floating around, skimming the Advocate's columns, and carefully digesting the New York Times' back page. This is what I was doing last Monday when I turned to longtime Times columnist Nicholas Kristof in an interview for Easter. Apparently, Easter had happened the day before. I was a day late on all that in the news. Kristof traded questions here with Serene Jones, a minister in the United Church of Christ and the president of the prestigious Union Theological Seminary in New York. There's a lot to appreciate in their exchange, as Reverend Jones plants the cross very close to the resurrection. But I was more than a little puzzled about what else she had to say about that resurrection. When you look in the Gospels, she begins, the stories are all over the place. There's no resurrection story in Mark, just an empty tomb. Those who claim to know whether or not a physical resurrection happened are kidding themselves. But that empty tomb symbolizes that the ultimate love in our lives cannot be crucified and killed. She later adds, for Christians for whom the physical resurrection becomes a sort of obsession, that seems to me to be a pretty wobbly faith. Now listen, her central claim that the Christian story is one proving love is stronger than death is fine enough. Her tie to the cross of Jesus to injustice in our world today is relevant, meaningful. But this whole who knows what really happened to create that empty tomb, not only does this smack of ivory tower, book-producing academia, but it's smacked by the very Gospels themselves. To speak of those who, quote, whom the physical resurrection of Jesus becomes a sort of obsession, sounds very much like a professor trying to put her simple-minded, backward people in their place. Just know, we're standing alongside the apostles here, simple believers, fishermen, craftsmen, bankers and bussers, us all. Why is Jesus' actual resurrection, physical resurrection, important? Why not, like Professor Jones, we opt for an enlightened view, a community coming together and just living from Jesus' memory? Why not just skip this whole Divine Mercy Sunday then? Our Catholic way of thinking is God takes all of us, uses all of us, our minds, to be sure, but also our emotions, our senses, our aspirations and purpose. God could come to us all sorts of ways. But look at the sacraments, those acts passed down by Jesus and the early church, those tangible, visible, real signs that let us touch and smell and see and taste God's love for us. We could call them primitive, I guess, but that would be discounting a significant part of what it means to be human. We're not just a mind. We're persons with bodies and souls. Benefit immeasurably from a God who comes to us in ways that we can most receive. And if this doesn't just make sense, maybe on, you know, a certain level, turn again to those accounts Professor Jones hops over on the way to her conclusion. Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." A group of blundering, betraying friends needed Jesus to come in this way, needed a Jesus both different and recognizable. In his risen body, this is what they receive. Thomas today is not asked to sit in silent meditation and live from Jesus's memory. He's asked to approach the risen Lord and place hands on his still present wounds. This isn't theater or community creating something later. There would be no action, no community itself, without this reason Jesus coming to the locked room, to the scared apostles and disciples. That's the good news about this Divine Mercy Sunday weekend. God's plan for our salvation gives us a love that conquers death, as Professor Jones would agree, but in a way we can most receive. May we praise God for the sacraments placed in front of us again, especially the Eucharist and reconciliation today. May this Easter season be one of encountering our risen Lord, who comes not just once in time, but again today to us, in ways we can understand, in ways that we can be embraced.